like pizza. I like bagels. I like hot dogs with mustard and beer.
I get the picture.
I'll eat eggplant. I could even eat a baby deer. La 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 la. Who's a baby deer on the lawn?
Enough there? Already.
And thanks everyone for listening to the Talking Split podcast. We'll catch you again next week as we've exhausted our time allotment just on the intro alone. I'm Rob Calder, joined by Zoe Carr, Nick Mihai. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening once again. This is our little bit of a wrap up of the Coach Wellbeing Month in general. So this will be the one that drops on the last day of October, with the hope that November we all go and start living much healthier and happier lives overall. As a reminder, you can join in on the Talking Split socials, Instagram, X, YouTube. We'll have some content up on there. There's some drills up there. They'll start back again in November as well. So you can go in if you're looking for anything there. If you can like, share, rate, review, subscribe, all those sorts of things, that would be fantastic as well. Just before we get started, a big thanks to everyone that has reached out on the Coach Wellbeing Month. It has been, I've got comfortably, probably 24 emails of people that have, to be fair, wanted something else as they've emailed me, but have also said, look, thanks very much for doing it. We listen, we've started working out again, or we started watching what we eat, all those sorts of things as well. So it is great to see so many people that have taken it well in that space and are looking to move forward. I normally reply with, look, sorry, you know, I didn't mean to try and make you go back to the gym or anything like that. I apologize for the soreness, those sorts of things. But it is fantastic to see, especially this time of year, so many people that are getting back involved and thinking about their health and their fitness moving forward. So that is brilliant on that end too. What we are going to just unpack is a little bit of a review of the five episodes we've had. So we've had sleep, physical, two on mental, and one on nutrition overall. So we're going to sort of unpack those a little bit. We're going to give you four main areas to look at as well over the course of November. And those four main areas are connect, contribute, condition, and cook. So the four C's, also known as Rob's report card. But we're going to jump into what that can potentially look like. So connect in particular is just connect with relationships effectively. So that might be reconnect with your family that doesn't get to see you because you're out coaching basketball all the time. That might be connect with people you used to hang out with or speak to, or former players, those sorts of things. Mentoring other people, that might be where the connection comes in. Are there any other sort of examples that you two can sort of think of, like how you would start that connection piece in particular?
I've got a random one.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing it.
Yep.
I'm going with my mates to a trivia night on Simpsons.
Oh, dear me.
So do you want to take all connecting. The drops from every episode of Talking Split?
I'm going to need to take the board, Rob.
Yeah, I get it. We also expect a picture with you and the trophy at the end of it, because if you don't win that thing, you will be ostracized from this podcast. Oh,
if it's not me winning it, it's my mates. I can guarantee you that. We only speak in Simpsons quotes. I don't think we speak normally to each other. So,
but a good way to do it, the big thing with that is I think, I mean, it's one thing to call people and text and all those sorts of things. If you can do it face-to-face, brilliant, even better. Like, I think that's probably the key to it. The whole eye contact, reading body language, getting invested in people is a lot harder to do face-to-face, but I think there's better outcomes from face-to-face if possible.
Well, I think it's something we're losing as well as a society. You know, everything is – it's easy to text. It's easy to – I mean, you can see even phone calls are becoming a dying art. Yeah. So email and text is just taking over. But being able to sit in a room with someone, and I know, like, there's so many times where, hopefully my friends aren't listening, where there's like something organized for a catch up and just, you know, you've had a long day or a long few days or whatever, and you think, oh, I might bail on this. And then you end up going and you leave and it's like, that was the best. That was so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
Why don't I do it more often?
Yeah. Every single time. Almost a routine. So I think it's because, you know, everything is so easy because we can speak digitally now and not have to, you know, have those conversations face to face. But they're just so much – there's so much better. There's so – you know, being able to, you know, read people's facial expressions and see what, you know, things mean to them when they're talking about things. Is it something that matters? Is it something that's just a bit of fun and off the cuff and all that sort of stuff? And as coaches, that's really a really important skill to have for us too. You know, we ask an athlete how they're going and they say fine. There's probably about 8 different ways that can be interpreted, and you know, being able to have practice, I guess, at those things can be really beneficial. So, yeah, getting out and actually seeing people and connecting is so important, not just for your coaching, but just for you as a person.
Well, and it's funny because for those that are cricket lovers, Kerry O'Keefe usually would tell his joke of the day over summer, and it's loose. It's always loose. And he tells the joke effectively that, you know, once the cricket's finished for the summer, you know, there was this woman that was just sitting in his house, and he's like, "Who are you?" And it's like, "I'm your wife." Like, you know, you've been off doing cricket stuff this entire time. I'm the person that's not. And so that ability to even connect with family members that may not see you because you're out coaching everyone else and doing all those sorts of things, you've got to spend some time, and it's got to be meaningful time in that world. And it doesn't have to be basketball people. And in a lot of cases, it can be people from just different walks of life. You might have gone to school with them, used to work with them, or whatever the case might be. Basketball might be your common link, but the ability to catch up with people outside of that, I think, is important.
I think that's what you're doing, Nick, in terms of going to a trivia. Like, that stops you, because I always find myself
getting overly competitive at trivia nights.
I don't go to trivia nights.
You've been banned.
Neither do I normally, so this will be interesting.
but I find myself linking back, because my friends, my closest friends, are basketball people. Yep. They're people I played with. And so we always find a way back, even if we start talking about, oh, what's going on in, you know, in your life or whatever, it always somehow circles back to basketball. So if you can have some things where, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you can have some things that you do, like a trivia night or those paint and sips, or, you know, things where you're just not, things you're not used to doing, things you're probably all bad at, and can, you know, laugh about it and have a good time and just detach from basketball for a little bit, even if it's just for a night. I think it's really useful in terms of igniting the flame for basketball as well, because you've had a chance to disconnect from it.
I think as well, a lot of coaches, especially volunteer coaches, their network is the coaches when they're around it. Mm-hmm. Not to sacrifice time with your family, of course, that's really important, but finding time to hang out with them maybe off the court would be just as beneficial, because it's the same people, but you've taken that pressure away. You're just having a laugh and having a chat. You know, you're having a palm or whatever you want to do, I think is beneficial as well, like socializing and understanding that, hey, you're not just a coach, like you're actually, you know, a good person as well.
Yeah, find out what makes people tick.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't stress enough, do it in person if you can. Mm. Like, it's, you know, look, if you can't, absolutely shoot the text message, call, FaceTime, whatever it is, no question. What do you got, Zoe? You're laughing at me.
No. I was just thinking, though, if you're going somewhere, like if you're going to a cafe or a restaurant or something, like, you have to order something. Like, I've had catch-ups with coaches before, and it's really awkward when they come over and you don't want to order anything. It's like, no, we're just using your establishment.
Fair enough.
So you're not a sit down and just the water, thanks.
No.
You got
to. What about a coffee? Black. Just order something. You're taking up a space in a business. Like, that could be somebody that could sit down and have a meal.
This is not the direction I thought it was going to go in, but no worries.
No, I just that's why I was laughing, because I could, you know, this. I'm tipping this will get edited out, but yeah, no, using
never had a problem with that with
platform,
me, Zoe.
No. Using the platform for good, Mihai.
No. I would always order food, and you know that.
Pastrami. Delicatessen meats.
100%.
No, that's the 20%. We've spoken about that. But it is. Like, I think where you can, do try and catch up in person. And look, this is coming from the world's most awkward person. I'm not bad on text, to be fair. I'm okay on email. I'm rubbish in person. Like, it's just one of those things. But again, the more time you spend with people, the more you are okay in person. Like, it is, it just happens that way.
See, I think, I don't know if I should talk about this on the pod. I don't think you're awkward.
No.
I'm sorry, I don't agree. I think if it's a smaller group, I think you're fine. Like, I don't, I don't see that.
You know where this comes from? Okay. Every now and again, we'll go somewhere like a restaurant or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the waiter will say something like, enjoy your meal. And he'll say something awkward like, yeah, you too. And then that sticks in his brain and then he thinks he's awkward. It's like we've all done it. We've all done so. Or, you know, people say, hi. And you say, good, thanks, how are you? Like we've all had those moments. But he grabs it and just runs with it.
If the three of us had lunch, who is out of the three of us more likely to be the awkward person?
Me. Comfortable.
No way.
Comfortable.
Depends on what you call awkward though. As in making people uncomfortable, that's probably you.
Yeah, 100%.
But sitting there being awkward, then yeah, it probably would be Rob. But that's because in your you're not actually awkward, but you think you are. That's from the outside, if you were
known as awkward, I don't think coaches would approach you, and they do. They contact you.
So very different though.
Okay.
Because there's obviously coaching Rob and then there's social Rob. And social Rob isn't actually that social. Like social Rob is very antisocial as it turns out.
But social Rob runs a podcast.
Yeah, and that's part of it though. Like this is something that makes me
maybe you have a smaller group. That doesn't make you antisocial. That means you have a smaller group.
For mine, I don't know why I'm being personally attacked here.
It's not where the pod he thought it was going to go.
It really isn't. Like, you know what's worse? I actually put notes together for this podcast too, and it's been derailed early on.
Well, why did you invite us? Yeah, I know.
It's just turned on him in like 5 seconds.
Because I care. That's why. So I think the biggest thing is I'm not a good small talker. I can get into a conversation, no problems.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because small talk stuff, horrible. Like that is where I am bad. If you need to catch up with me for a coffee on something, whatever, whether it be basketball, whether it be something different, zero issues. Like no problems with that. Presenting to a group of coaches, no problems at all. Can do that stuff blindfolded. The small talk, that's where I'm bad at.
Like, how about this weather? Is that what you're talking about? Like,
very much so. Yeah. Like I had a 12-minute conversation the other day with someone about the weather and it's like, I genuinely don't care about the weather. Yeah. I just have no exit ramp to get out of this conversation. Much like this at the moment. I don't know where I'm going. Like it's like
we keep hitting.
Yeah, I know. Like, can we just move on to contribute, please? Like so I am conscious that the contribution one, this is something that most coaches do anyway. Like you're involved in coaching, you are generally giving back in that capacity. So this is one that's kind of low-hanging fruit, I think. But there are potentially some other things that you can do in this space. So things like give blood. Like Ben Paul has done a phenomenal job here at Basketball Victoria of getting like a BV lifeblood team where there'll be a whole group of people that go down and donate blood during like lunchtime during the day. So those sorts of things, like I think you can still contribute in that space, which I think would be great. Even just like thanking people for their work. Like that is a contribution in itself. Like it's... Just because you're volunteering and other people are volunteering doesn't mean they don't like to be thanked. And that's a big thing for mine. And it's one that I probably haven't done enough of over the course is just, hey, I really do appreciate you turning up for this, whether that be your assistant coaches, whether it be like a selector, whether it be the admin person that signs off 140 kids as they're walking through the door for trials. Like, have you got them a coffee? Have you said thanks? Have you checked in with them to find out how they're going? Because they're dealing with another all-world level of chaos with trials and those sorts of things. So I think that even just like sending a note to someone, like it might be a post-it, it might just be something random attached to someone's computer or something in the mail, those sorts of things can make a massive difference to people.
But it can also be not necessarily two people within basketball,
absolutely,
right? Like we listened to a pod and there was a recording where he spoke to players about making your bed, picking clothes up off the ground, putting your dishes away when you eat it. Be grateful with your family. If you do those things because you're busy, because you are volunteering for coaching, but you do those things, I mean, it could be just like with my wife. Like I can make the bed and she'll just remake it. Right? But she appreciates that I
tried. You haven't made it the way she would make it.
Correct, but I've tried.
And you need to learn. No, you haven't. Have you asked her to teach you how to make it? Now this is your turn.
I don't want to turn, by the way. you're up next.
Zoe's elected to come off the long run this morning.
I've never asked her.
He started the last one, in fact.
No, I did.
No, I've never asked her. I've just tried to do it better next time. But I've never asked for specific feedback, even though I do get feedback from it.
The new
I don't understand how there's different ways to make a bed. Like it's folded, it's neat, and you get in it. How is there different options? I don't understand. Like it's.
Do you have lots of pillows?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's an order. Mistake. There's an order for the pillows too.
Yeah, she said that too.
Do you use all pillows?
Me? No.
Yeah. It's
no. I use like one, maybe two. Yeah. And the rest of them are, yeah, I don't know.
See, I'm with you. I think this is a Sarah problem. Yeah. We'll move on to the next thing. Like,
we're going to remove that, right? Like,
we'll jump into the next one just because I think gets done anyway by most coaches in that sort of space. But if you are a player listening to it, absolutely, make your bed, do the dishes, those sorts of things. I think that can make a massive difference. Condition.
Oh, so this is where it is going to turn on me.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, you're up, Zoe.
Wasn't planned this way, but like we're going to talk physical fitness, sleep, and stress. Like, and this is more the condition that you present in, I suppose. Things like 30 minutes of just something. Like, and it doesn't have to be physical activity. That might be mindfulness. That might be journaling. That might be – you might link it in with contribute. Like, that might be you know, you're going to send someone a note about when they thanked you, and that's going to make you feel better. I mean, it's amazing how giving makes you feel in that space. And whilst I'm sure everyone loves receiving things, being able to give to someone actually does make you feel better. Like there's the studies that show in the brain when you do something nice for someone, the brain like lights up like a Christmas tree in particular.
Well, because I think a good example of that would be potentially Zoe going on the walks with you over the...
It's an interesting game you're playing.
You just have to set it up the same way Rob does. Like, obviously, Rob, you prepare yourself before you go to bed.
Yep.
Organise.
We could do that. What I was going to say.
I think Zoe values her quiet time.
Yeah. And I very much
on the wall. See how easily she can shut it down compared to us, by the way.
But actually, Rob's right, though. Like, it is a – I need time by myself. Whether I'm awake or asleep, I need time by myself. And that is a good time for that. But it could also be then that I go out at a different time or something like, you know. But one of the things, like when you talk about the first three that we've done, you know, you might notice that somebody might be struggling a little bit. So you connect with them by asking them to go on a walk, and then that's also contributing to, you know, helping somebody else. All three of those, you know. And when I say a walk, it doesn't have to be a power walk or, you know, anything like that. But you could just go for a, you know, a 30-minute walk or something like that and just talk about things and
– or not.
You know.
Like you might like the solitude just talk about, in that space. Yeah. Like or something completely different again. I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, no. But just find 30 minutes to work on the physical side of things or the mental side of things. I think that's – like carve out that time. And even if you have like a little bit of a curfew almost – with I'm not doing any work or basketball related stuff after 8 p.m. And that might be where your cutoff is. Or you might say, look, I'm doing it up until, you know, this time, whatever. Take your pick. But just finding ways to keep yourself fresh in particular, because that will contribute to your sleep. Like we were talking to Beck about it the other day on the sleep podcast. Like obviously, if you're going all day and then you come back and you do basketball stuff at night and you're going on that, you're going to really struggle to wind down and sleep with any form of quality, which is then going to be that self-fulfilling prophecy. If you get a poor night's sleep, you're not going to want to exercise the next morning. You know, you're going to be in a little bit of a funk. You're not going to be looking for...
You just get takeaway.
That sort of stuff. Like, you're not looking for like your overnight oats. You're looking for, can I get 2 bacon and egg McMuffins in the morning? Like those sorts of things. Like it just cycles through. So I think the ability to carve out time where you sit there and say, hey, I'm either going phone down or I'm going out, whatever the case might be, that can really help like make time.
And I think the 30 minutes, the reason it's just a 30-minute window that you want to aim for is so it's repeatable and it's achievable over time. Like you don't just want to, you know, burn yourself out like Darren spoke about it, right? You don't want to burn yourself out or what was it? It was 6,000 meters.
Yeah.
Would I tell you to bench 6,000 reps? Like it's find something that's achievable and you can do that consistently after November when we have the...
Well, if you tell people they have to exercise for 2 hours a day, the straight answer will be no.
Yeah.
So 30 minutes is something
Even 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
People sit there and go, there's no way known I can do 10,000 steps. I sit at a desk all day.
Yeah.
I'm in and off. I can't get 10,000 steps in. Okay, well, what can you do?
Mm. Yeah.
And lean into that. And that might be stretching. Like that might be just like, I can't exercise today for whatever reason. I'm going to jump on the foam roller.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to do like the squats and the calf raises and those sorts of things. Things that don't require a huge amount of time and energy but will help your basic body functions in that space. So move the big rocks, I think, is probably the area on that one if you potentially can. The last one is cook. Now, this one might be where we come for you, Zoe, because I'm not entirely sure cooking massive briskets is super ideal towards your overall physical well-being. But
Jesus, they're good.
The big thing is...
You can break them up, though.
You can. It can be used in multiple meals. So there is some value for money there.
Yeah, we don't eat the whole... Just so people know, I'm not sitting down and eating an entire, 7-kilo brisket by myself in one sitting.
No, she does 3.5 because I do the other 3.5.
Wouldn't even be close.
But the big thing is, get off the takeaway type stuff. Meal prep where you possibly can. Try and find ways to have... snackable foods around so that you're not going searching for the high sugar foods and those sorts of things that do put you in that little bit of a brain fog at times where we've all had that 3 p.m. hit where it's like, I just need some sugar. So you have it and you're okay until about 4:15, 4:30 and then the crash hits and it's like, why do I feel worse in this sort of space? But I think cooking and being in a space where you're looking after your own diet and you're not relying on drive-through and takeaway and those sorts of things. And don't get me wrong, there are some good options within that as well that you can lean into if you can. But try and spend the time to cook. And, whether you are in that sort of smoothies, those sorts of things that you can just go in the fridge, go in the freezer that can help, I think that's where you want to sort of be in that space. Not ideal always, and don't get me wrong, certainly not a perfect science, but... try and just plan out your day so that you are going to be cooking. It is going to be fresh food. It is going to be fairly healthy food in comparison to the takeaway stuff.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for that is knowing what is healthy and what's not.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of...
false foods.
Yeah, misinformation and things on labels. And so figuring out exactly what is healthy. And then probably a good place to start is, is it something if, the entire consumer world crashed tomorrow, is it something you could find on your own out in the wild?
That's going to be healthy.
The whole foods approach.
You don't want ultra processed foods.
Yeah, if that's going to be something that then, that's probably a place to start.
Definitely.
Because, the amount of times, remember when... Boost came in and everyone was like, oh, healthy smoothies. And then a while after that, it was then revealed that it's
high sugar.
Very much not.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing that, people get stuck in. I've done it too.
I think Subway as well. Isn't it the bread or something?
Well, it depends on
which
you
bread
get,
you get. Yeah, okay. You get no meat.
Yeah.
So
the triple meat.
So why would you bother?
It's almost like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't had Subway since they reduced the size of the meatballs. Remember in the beginning, the meatballs were enormous.
Yeah.
And now they're tiny marbles.
No. Getting an insight as to the drop on the intro on the podcast that we had on this one. But, circling back on that, the podcast with Alex Parr, on nutrition and performance, she spoke a little bit about that in particular as to, if you had to get takeaway, what could you get? The use of the 80-20 rule was the big one. 80% do the right thing, live that lifestyle. And if the 20% is, I'll say bad for lack of a better term, or processed foods or takeaway and those sorts of things, that's okay. But try and keep in that 20 and not let one bad day turn into a second bad day.
That's where I'm bad.
But we also got to a point there where the 20 could be your training session night in the midweek, your Friday night game, and your Sunday morning. That's what we came to, could be the 20 and the rest of it.
Quite easily.
Yeah.
And that's, we spoke as well, obviously, about hydration and caffeine in particular and when to have caffeine, what it looks like it can hide in foods. Beck spoke about it the other day as well. People probably think caffeine, they think coffee or soft drinks and that sort of thing. She's like, no, it's in chocolate as well. There are other sources of caffeine throughout the day.
Dogs can't have it.
Okay, if you
Because of the caffeine.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it makes the heart race too quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that what dog chocolate is without caffeine in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been caught out before, Nick?
What, eating dog chocolate? Is that what you-
here's a question. Can you sleep after having caffeine? If you drink coffee, can you sleep after having a coffee?
Absolutely, a baby. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that too. I don't know.
Well, that's
what's wrong with us.
When I was with Dom in 2018, I had one in the fridge, remember?
You had one in the fridge at Jamboree too, I think.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. First thing in the morning,
yep.
Before I go to bed.
maybe not the point we're trying to make, Nick. But
I don't recommend it. Like, I need to be clear. I do not recommend it. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a habit.
Habit, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. So, I mean, a couple of actions items, I think, out of that podcast in particular, try and avoid skipping meals where you can. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I know from my end as well, if I don't have breakfast, don't have lunch, and I get in that sort of 3 o'clock, 3:30 time frame where it's like I'm kind of in between now where I don't want to eat because it's going to impact dinner, but if I don't eat, I'm going to feel rubbish for the next little bit. Try not to skip meals. Try and plan out your week. If you can spend some time on the weekend where it's like this is what I'm going to have, this is where I'm going to have it, I'm going to meal prep all this so that it is the cause of least resistance to be able to get there in the first place. Like, don't have things in the house that you know you shouldn't be eating in that space as well. So
yeah, I got to delete the Uber Eats app.
I delete it. The problem is I keep re-downloading it.
That's
the
bigger
issue.
Happens to me too. Yeah. I delete DoorDash and everything and then I'm like, but I still know it's there.
Yeah, it's not hard to get to. I need to put a lock on the app store somehow.
But the problem is too, a lot of the time when I get Uber Eats, it's from like Woolies or Coles.
It's poorly planned. Like you could have just organized.
Like, but I've organized a meal, but I've forgotten like one ingredient or something like that. Yep. So instead of going and getting it, I get it brought to me, which is horribly lazy. But yeah,
my Coles is over the road, and I've done that.
Jeez, that's not a great look.
Not good. That's why I have to delete it. It's like I spent $25 on salt.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Well, that's the thing. So I think meal prep and planning will help with that because now you can sort out your list for the week. And it's like, look, what do I need? I can go and do all this in one shop because I know, like, and I think I've spoken about it before. My biggest kryptonite was I want to go to the shops hungry. Mm. And it's like, if I'm going down every aisle, you know I'm going down the chip and chocolate aisle. And there are times where you just want chocolate chips. And, you know, they end up in the trolley somehow and then they're in the house and you feel a bit obligated to eat it. It's the same when I was going to fill up petrol. Like you can't tell me $2 for $3 on Snickers bars is not a great deal. So, of course, I'm going to buy them with my petrol as well.
And it's not just you because they wouldn't put them right at the front.
No. Yeah. And then they ask you about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want that? It's only a dollar.
Yeah.
But I know from experience, the times where I've planned out the week, I know what I'm going to be eating. I know the shop I'm going to do or click and collect so you don't even have to go into the shop in the first place. That can help with nutrition because now you're not, I'll just grab that while I'm here. And, gee, I see this is on sale. It's 3 for whatever it is. I'll just grab those as well. It avoids those problems. So some planning, I think, helps.
I feel, like writing the list, like I put it in my notes on my phone. I find I don't buy extras when I have the list.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why, but, like, that just works for me. But, yeah, click and collect is a good idea as well.
Yep, we got an app that we're actually using. I can't even remember the name of the app, but effectively you throw all your recipes into this app and it'll, like, let you plan out your week. But then it'll create a shopping list for you. So then you can just literally wander through with all of that. All your recipes are in the same place.
Really cool.
Recipe Keeper, it's called, that we use, that we've got to start using a little bit better, I would suggest, in that sort of space, where you just, that way you know, do I need spinach on the, like I need to buy a massive bag of spinach because I need it on the Monday and the Tuesday rather than I need it on Monday and Friday. Can I plan that better so that I'm not throwing out food? Like, you can be a little bit more efficient with it. So I think that's one of the ones that's worth using. But also, like, have emergency snacks around the place. And that is not, like, hide the Mars bar down the back of the couch. Like, emergency snacks might be little, like, trail mix type things or some almonds, those types of things that you can have just if you're in the car going from one place to the other, quick little energy hits that are not going to have the sugar crash, I think.
And cheese, I guess.
Cheese, well, delicatessen meats was on the 20% list, as it turns out.
That's why I had to say cheese.
Not all cheese is created equal, as it turns out.
Yeah, apparently.
You've got to be a little careful there too.
Yeah.
Moving into episode 2, which was Darren McInnes, talking about the physical side of things. So he was talking about when to eat in particular. He felt an early dinner helped him in that sort of space, and I know that a lot of people would probably have training sessions at 6:30 p.m. onwards, which becomes really difficult to get dinner in afterwards. But if you could get dinner in beforehand, one, you get to burn off, you know, some of the energy at your training session, which is a good thing, which lets the food settle and you're not going to bed sort of feeling bloated or anything like that. So that was one that really helped him. I really like the start small and build momentum, like habit stack. I think that's the best advice I can give to anyone is to try and get into habits as best you possibly can so that by the other time it just becomes normal. Like, you're not sitting there saying, oh, I have to go and exercise today. It's like, this is just what I do. Like, it becomes part of your personality and part of your identity. I'm not saying become one of the gym bros that has the tripod in the gym or anything like that, but, you know, just genuinely think about when and where.
He wasn't even specifically talking about the gym all the time. Like, a lot of body weight exercises he was talking about. And
yep. And it was what I really liked was the function over fitness. Like, you're training to be able to lead a functional lifestyle where you can pick things up, move around, those sorts of things, rather than training to be necessarily fit, because they're two different things. And like, for mine, I think that's a good way to look at it. You know, are you physically fit? Yes, no, maybe, somewhere in between. But can you function as part of what you do, your day-to-day and those sorts of things? Like, I know we've got to fill up 4 veggie patches at the back at the moment with soil, and I'm not looking forward to any part of that at all. But I know it would be worse if I didn't lift weights and do some resistance training, because I'd get out there and I'd be cooked after 15, 20 minutes. So trying to find ways to keep that out, which, again, habits, like your clothes out the night before, Durham spoke about that, making sure that, you know, you do have like a training buddy or someone to keep you accountable in that space, I think is a good way to do it as well. So the physical side of things, I think everyone knows what they should be doing and what they're capable of. Like, we're not suggesting go out there and train for, you know, 75 hard or anything like that. Like, we're certainly not suggesting that, but just find ways to get some functional movement into your day.
I think that's important. I think another takeaway from both of them was the benefits of creatine.
Yep.
Definitely. Like, I definitely learned a lot more about it. Like, the last week I've been taking it every morning, and probably took about 5-6 days for me to go, oh, I'm actually not as cloudy brain in the morning when I go to, I still have coffee, yep. But like, it does help. Like, it's just part of my routine now. I've gotten to a point where it's like, what, a week and a half in now, and I just automatically do it.
Yep.
But I'm noticing it from about 6 days onwards.
Yeah, okay.
Just like my brain, like, obviously, yep, not body, but I'm pretty sure I'm lifting better. But
yep.
Yeah.
But that's the habit.
Yeah.
Like, correct. Now you're just taking it out of habit. And I'm sure if after 7 or 8 days, if you took it away, you'd probably notice it the other way too.
Yeah.
Whereas that hit, I suppose, gone in that space. So yeah, again, a lot of anytime Durham comes on the podcast, there's tons of takeaways. So it's a good one on that end. Ben McKechnie speaking about mental health. So that was the one that came out when we had 2 in a week. So he spoke a lot about mental health being a spectrum. It's not just my mental health is good, my mental health is bad. It's not as black and white as that. It will vary depending on what your day has been like, what your interactions have been like. You know, the being aware of that though, and it's not just one product, and it's not just one part of your personality, it's your whole personality and what that can potentially look like. Just some things to be mindful of with coaches, obviously. You've got to be authentic in how you talk to people. Like, you can't fake that, and people will pick it up pretty quickly if they find you faking that. And how one mental health glitch, I suppose, will ripple through the team. Like, you'll see that everywhere, whether it be one player in your team, whether it be someone on the coaching staff, that will impact and spread really quickly. So making sure that they're on top of that, I think, is a big part of it. You know, some action items out of that in particular, just reflect on your own mental health. That's a big part of it. Make sure you're okay in that space. Breathing techniques in particular, and being able to talk about moments that haven't been great. So, you know, when you might have had a run-in, whether it be at work, family, basketball, whatever the case might be, being able to just take a breath and unpack that and move on from it, I think, is a big part.
And the interesting one is avoid personas and being consistent, like being a character when you're coaching on the floor. Like, kids actually see that as well. So, like, it's actually easier just to be yourself and add your personality to the coaching.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, yeah. And I think we've all probably suffered from it at times where, and when I say suffered from it, just experienced it, where we've gone in and thought, I need to take this seriously. So I'm going to be like the ultra serious person that is like this, kind of a bit of a hard ass at times, but I'm not going to let anything slide. And it's like, but if that's not your personality, that's not going to suit you for long, and people are going to see through it.
And you can't maintain it. No, that's the other thing. It's you're going to have to consciously be aware that that's who you have to be.
Yep.
So you may as well coach to your personality and your style.
Well, there was a great quote I heard. I reckon it was actually Ray Tomlinson that said it. He's like, if you have a, it was something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm trying to get it right, but I can't quite place exactly how it was said. And it was along the lines of, if you're always telling the truth, you don't need to have a good memory. And it's kind of the same with coaching. Like, if you're being who you are, you don't need to search for who you think you should be in that space. Like, just be who you are as the coach, and that will be fine from there. Now you're not trying to search for external validation or someone else to jump in on that sort of thing.
Well, being vulnerable is a big part of it too. I think we get into these, like, personas, as you said, and think we have to be this big, strong presence all the time, and that's not real and it's not normal. And as you said, kids see through it, parents see through it. Like, there was a session we had and I was having some sort of struggles with my dad at the time, and he was severely unwell, and so I've rocked up to practice. I didn't want to be there, I'll be honest. I didn't want to be there because my brain wasn't there. My brain was with my dad, and I was exhausted because I hadn't been sleeping and all that sort of stuff. And then the athletes came in and they were great. They were so good and they made me feel so good. So I told them at the end of it. I was like, hey, I'm going to be honest with you here. You know, I've had a really rough week. I've struggled with my dad, who's been really unwell, and I didn't really want to come here today because I felt like I shouldn't be here. I should have been there with him. But the way you guys practice then, that just made me – that's lifted me up. And they were all just like, oh, we had the power to do that? Like, that's really
if
cool.
If only they knew how much it impacted on our lives. Yeah.
But also I think a big part of mental health and wellness for coaches is, you know, I know in my role I'm subject to a lot of very sensitive information from athletes, and no doubt a lot of coaches that are listening get told some things they probably wish they weren't told, because, you know, it's hard. It's hard to take that on. It's hard because we care about the kids, and it's awful to hear some of the things that they're having to deal with or try and go through. But the biggest part is you can't take it on. Like, don't try and be their savior. Don't try and find solutions for them. Point them in the direction of certified people who can. Now, it doesn't mean I can't switch that off. I still worry about them, think about them, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I'm then not tasked with trying to either solve the problem or get them on a path to solve that problem. I've done what I can from my skill set. And I think where we go wrong is because we're coaches, our job is to fix things and find solutions and correct errors and all those sort of things. We get to, we go into, I want to fix this for you. How do I fix it? Which just, that has such a, I did that early, and it was, it had such a strain on my mental health as well. It was hot. Yeah.
It really is.
I had nothing left for anybody else.
No. And you feel like you're just taking on their problems.
Yeah.
And as much as, like, we're not trained as psychologists.
No.
Like, there's only so much we can help out with. And I think that burden necessarily, or the weight that you end up carrying in that space, we don't actually know how to deal with that because that's not a field of expertise. Mm. Like, if psychologists are given information, they know how to unpack that. They know when health and safety kicks in. They know when their duty of care kicks in. We don't. Like, all we know is we want to try and fix this and help. And consequently, we can overstep at times as coaches, and it's like, hey, this is actually not our area to be dealing in. I need to deal with what I can to try and put you on the right path for this, and then it's no longer my space.
Well, we have on the other line those coaches that they want them to talk to them about those things and go, I want to be the one because it's a sense of power.
Yep.
I advise to those coaches to do exactly what Zoe said as well. Point them in the direction of professional help, right? They're equipped and experienced to help these athletes through these things. And whether you realize it or not, it is affecting you. Even though you think it's empowering you and you feel good that you're helping someone, it's still affecting you, these situations as well.
And we have to be okay. We have to accept, unless you're a trained professional, like, your job away from basketball is in the psychology field or the mental health and wellness space, we have to accept that that is not our area. Mm-hmm. That is not our field of expertise. That is not our, our time to try and contribute to solving this athlete's problems. Our job as coaches is to make them fall in love with basketball and stay in the sport and try and get better. That is our field of expertise. When they come to us with things that are beyond that, we have to accept that's not our role. Thank them for trusting you, for if you want that sense of power, or you're looking for that sense of gratitude, there it is. They've come to you. Like that means you're setting an environment that they feel safe to speak to you. That's enough, because at the end of the day, like, yes, it is a massive mental toll on you trying to solve these problems, which you can't solve unless you're in this area, but it's also detrimental to the athlete. They've got to be with people who are trained and certified to be able to help them. And I see way too many coaches trying to take too much on, and it's
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. For all involved.
Well, it is. And the amount of times it's like, oh, I'm not trained in this, but I talk about well-being. It's like, no. Very, very different space.
First sentence was enough.
Yeah.
<That's> correct. Well, full stop. Yeah. Right there, right?
Like that is a genuine thing. Like, I work on mental skills. Like, are you an accredited person in this space? Because if not, I'm sorry, but I'm not putting faith in you in this area. Like, there's a duty of care that we have, I think, to other people, where we have to make sure we're working with the right people in this space. Jumping into the next episode, which was with Francielle Wilson, and talking about coach wellbeing, and she was fascinating. Like, her pathway to being involved in the psychology space, I think, was a really cool one. Being an ex-volleyballer, coming from Brazil, working away through the college system, not speaking English, and then coming to Australia and learning the psychology art and craft, I suppose, in that space. Like, she was brilliant in terms of like spotting burnout and setting boundaries. And that was one of the, like, honestly, that was the best takeaway I think I had out of all of these, in that you have to set boundaries for yourself. And what they look like, that might be with work, that might be your personal life, that might be with basketball, whatever it is. Set boundaries and hold on to those boundaries, because people will keep asking and they will test those boundaries, and it's not their job to not test. It's your job to uphold. And I think that's
so true.
That's such an important part for coaches that get pulled in about five different directions by various things, and, oh, can you just help out with this? And it's like, well, look, yes, I can, but I can only give you 30 minutes instead of the hour and a half that you really want. Like, what can I do in that space before it impacts somewhere else? I thought you did a really good job talking about like a self-care routine and what that can look like for each person and how it's going to be different. The sensors and grounding methods, she speaks a little bit about that, obviously, which I thought was really good. And just like doing something for you weekly, like finding a way to find something in your week where you get to go and say, I'm doing this and it's for me. And that's self-care. Like, she speaks about how, like, the normal functions about, eating well and exercise, they're not supposed to be out there things. They're supposed to be, like, your basic human habits in particular. That's kind of – because I don't think many coaches do anything for themselves. Like, they spend all their time doing stuff for other people. So consequently, and look, to be honest, that might also be for them.
That's exactly okay. What I was going to say. Yeah, also might be a little bit mixed up. Like, they've misinterpreted that as well. Like,
absolutely.
Because you're sacrificing sometimes other things to do that. I mean,
we've all been in it. Like, where coaching might have been a little bit of a release. Like, because, we work other jobs. Then we come into coaching, it's like, oh, I get to forget all that stuff now, and I get to do this. I get to work with some great kids that want to be there, and I get to help guide them on whatever path they can be. And I kind of get that a little bit with coaches at the moment. Like, it's fun working with coaches, because now, like, we get to work with them, then we get to sort of sit back and find out, where do they go now? Like, what do they do next? And, I mean, that is joyous in itself, because you get it's a nice feeling when you see someone achieve something that you've had something to do with. And I think that's joy in that. But taking the time to reflect and work out, look, how many people have I truly impacted in a positive manner over the course? That's something that might be the reflection. That might be the journaling part of it, where you want to schedule in, I want to catch up with an ex-player, or I want to catch up with a coach that I used to have. And that can obviously tick the box of connect.
I don't know if even journaling has to be too complicated.
It's not.
Sometimes when I journal, I just write what happened in the day or in the morning that I've had, and then I go from there. If I want to write more, I write more. If I want to stop there, I'll stop there.
Yep. And it might be something we can look at. It's a little bit of a journal pro forma almost, that it's like, hey, look, here's a little bit of a template adapted to whatever you want. Like, if you want more, take more.
You see Apple with the journal app?
I haven't got into it. I did see that it's on there, but yeah, I haven't actually opened it.
It's pretty easy. Like, you can add your photos that you've taken through the day on your entry as well. So as you scan through it, you can have that up on there too. So it has a bit of pictures, but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, right. It's
this is already my favorite episode.
Obviously, Coops is no longer with us, but you know, the Stoic app is a really good one as well, where you can jump in there, you can talk about, and I think it's fairly basic. Like, you can talk about how you're feeling at the moment, and it sort of gives you like a smiley scale where you can just click on that. A few things you're grateful for during the day, and then you can put in more if you want to. Like, there's extra stuff that you can throw in there. So I think that's a really cool one to look into if people are interested too.
I think the part that's, if you take nothing else out of that pod, the boundary setting without guilt is the biggest one. Once you set your boundaries, so if you're a club or association coach, once you set your boundaries, so let's say it's, you know, I won't take any calls or respond to any emails or respond to any text messages, say, after 8 p.m. or something like that. Don't.
Just don't. Yeah.
The second you do it, then you're in trouble. So you can set things now, like, you know, put your phone on
do not disturb
or something like that. Like, where I've got to get better is the, I don't know if you guys are the same, but the little red notification.
Yeah, you can turn that off.
That triggers me.
The which one?
The little red notification, like when you got a message or something.
Stuff like that.
Oh, where with the
has the number.
The number, the yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I need it gone. How many, look on your face, how many unread messages do you have?
You want the official number?
Yep.
Yep, definitely.
598.
What is wrong with you? What is
I believe I'm outnumbered on this one. Yeah,
no, but it's, so it's a, maybe it's a case of, you know, at 8 p.m., don't not have your phone with you, because obviously if there's a like an emergency or something, you want to, with family or something, you want to be able to get to it. But maybe if you're on the couch, sit it on the bench or something like that. Like, I'd need it away from me, because if I see that, I'm going to open it. And whether I respond or not, I'm still going to have an emotional response to it.
Yep.
I often, when I email people, like, you know, if I'm looking for a, like a concreter or, you know, something like that, I'll message them like or email them outside of hours, and I'll put at the bottom, please don't feel like you have to respond to this now. I'm sending this to you at this time because it is
convenient
for me. Mm. This is the time. So don't, you know. And I wish we could normalize that a little bit, because understanding that people don't have all day to you know, call within hours and stuff like that, but being able to sort of give people almost permission to say, like, you know, I don't expect a response straight away. There's been so many times where I'll get an email at 8 p.m., for example, and stupidly I'll read it and then to get rid of the one, and then the next day at like midday I'll get an email saying, oh, just following up the email I sent you. And it's like, well, technically it's been 3 hours that I haven't responded, because, you know, it's you emailed me outside of hours, and now, you know, you've had from 9 a.m. I've had from 9 a.m. and you're not the only person I need to get back in touch with. So often I'll respond with that, with letting them know what the boundaries are, and try and it's so hard though, because –
well, it's easy to just reply.
Well, like, sometimes, especially like, if it's just something just that's a nothing, like, hey, do we have practice at this venue or this venue? You go, ah, that's an easy one. And you, but you've done it now. You've broken it. So now when there's a problem that they want to get you on, they feel like they can. And so as well as we want to be almost not customer service focused, but we want to, you know, we want to do a good job. We want people to get the answers that they need and make sure that we're available. And the problem with that is that that forces us into this never-ending availability.
And that's where I think you do have to set up the boundaries, as you're talking about. Like, it's one I got from Nando, actually, and without showering him with roast.
Yep. Like it.
Like nice. Yeah.
You know, you can be a little bit hot and cold on those sorts of things at times, so I appreciate that. But locking your social media apps. So just finding an amount of time that you're prepared to be on that during the day and set the boundary.
Especially this Friday.
Especially
Luke Lehman, actually.
To be honest, it'll already have been by the time this comes out. But sorry. I appreciate you thinking of it.
Last Friday.
But good job. Luke Lehman taught me that as well. He has an app where it locks him out of his phone, and he's currently obviously studying.
Yep.
So he's like, if I don't have the information, I'm locked out for 2 hours. That's it. Like, he can't unlock it when he presses the lock button.
Yep. I think that's a good boundary.
Can you still make calls?
I don't know how it works.
I think like certain numbers come through.
Like favorites.
Yeah. So there are ways to do it, but I think that boundary setting is really important. And, you know, I'm acutely aware that we're dealing with a vast number of volunteers that listen to this. But to be honest, there have been a number of people that aren't coaches reach out to me and say, hey, look, you know, can we get some help with this? I'm a parent of those types of things too, which we're obviously more than happy to help with where we possibly can. But there is almost an expectation that you are on call 24/7. When you're a volunteer, I'm not talking about us specifically, but volunteers in this space, you don't know what other people have got going on. So just respect the boundaries on that. But I would also encourage coaches, communicate those boundaries to them early on, like, so that they know what to expect. It's not a surprise of why aren't you responding to me. It's like, actually, I know why I'm getting no response in this space. So I think a little bit more communication, that will probably help.
But even just going back to what we've spoken about over the last few weeks of saying no as well, like, that's, you don't have to do it all the time. I have an example of it. Like, I was catching up with my youth league coaches and I said, we're going to meet on this Sunday. And they all go, yep. And then I looked into it and I was like, it's Father's Day.
Yep.
And they're all fathers. And I go, you guys know it's Father's Day? Yeah. I go, okay, well, we're moving it to this day. And then when I met up with them, I was like, don't ever do that again. If there's a kid's birthday, right, if it's your wife's birthday, I would rather know about that. I'll get upset if you just say yes.
If it's your wife's birthday, book a flight to Darwin and head off to the
That's how I roll.
When it's also Mother's Day, like, ironically enough, you got to get a better calendar.
And my mum's birthday. It was the trifecta.
Yeah.
The trifecta. Yeah.
Genius move being out of the...
Slept in the car for a few weeks, but anyway. That's right.
Speaking of sleep, Rebecca Mihai was our last pod that we dropped on sleep in particular. And she gave some great insight into, like, quality and quantity of sleep in particular, what that can look like, what are some of the habits, and what are, more to the point, some of the repercussions of when you're not getting good sleep in that space. And like the sleep hygiene, like cool, dark and quiet environments being the best place to get sleep, avoiding screens and stimulants in that space, like the impact that, say, caffeine will have, and making sure that, you know, you have your own routines and trying to get consistent sleep over the course of a period. She did talk about napping, Zoe. I know you haven't listened to the podcast yet, but she did talk about napping. 20 minutes. Like, that's the number, 20 to 30 minutes.
I was way off too, don't worry.
Yeah. No, the amount of time Zoe will be asleep on the couch, she'll wake up and say, how long did I nap for? And it's like, there was no nap. Like, that was a full-on.
It's tomorrow.
Sleep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In your defense, cycle. You probably haven't slept more than like 3 hours or something in the past previous 3 days. But anyway.
Yeah. But it really was insightful in terms of what does it actually look like for people to be able to get sleep and the right sort of sleep, not just the I'm doing enough to get by, but more the consistent sleep over the course.
Did she say anything about time of sleep before 12 o'clock?
No, nothing.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Unlucky.
Yeah, that would have been interesting too. But like, it's funny how strength and conditioning, nutrition, they all harp on about sleep. Like, it's the most important thing.
Yep.
And probably the psychologists too, right? Like, they're talking about sleep and the benefits of it. Like, this is the big one.
Well, what's interesting, and it makes me think that maybe we got this right, every single one of them spoke about the other three.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't prompted. Like, we deliberately didn't do it. We were kind of trying to come in with, like, open eyes on this one as to what it can look like. But every single one of them spoke about the other three. So it's like, not only are they important in their space, it's important in everyone else's. So you got something there? Like you're tapping your mouth as if you pondered something here.
No, I was just reading the notes on it, and then it was just made me think about like how I sleep, which is wrong too.
Yep.
Because I can't fall asleep in silence. Like, because it just allows my brain to just.
When's the last time you tried it? Because we spoke about this as well. Did.
Yeah.
Because I used to have like noise, like Netflix or something running, and then I stopped doing it. And I noticed a difference since I stopped doing it. And I didn't know the difference.
Last week at camp, it wasn't great. because the walls were really thin, so I didn't want to bother anybody else with sound.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's weird.
What about white noise?
I don't know. I haven't tried that. I just normally have a comfort show that, like, I've seen a million times, so I don't need to watch. Like I know what's coming, so it doesn't.
But because your mind's running on camp or selections and things like that, and you just need to unwind.
Yeah.
So
that's weird. But cold, definitely. Like I cannot stand a hot room when I'm trying to sleep. Like,
same.
And I think part of it too comes into I love having my blanket. And so if I don't have my blanket, I sleep horribly, which is obviously a bit of a security thing from when you're a baby and all the way through. But not being able to, being hot in any way is just, that's it. My sleep is ruined.
Well, listen to the podcast then. Mm-hmm. And she'll give you some good advice on what that can look like. In that space. So that was the whole idea of all these podcasts, in all honesty, is to try and give as many people some tools to go away from this, because there's obviously a lot of misinformation that can make it into the world and the internet and all those sorts of things. So trying to make sure that you're getting the right information was something that we were really conscious about, and it's deliberately why we went and approached the people we approached to help us out with this, because this is not our world of expertise. Like, we are the byproducts of not getting it right, I can give you that much, but there's a reason we tried to get as many people as we could to come in and talk about this. And, you know, that connect, contribute, condition and cook. Like, if you can focus on those four for the month of November, I think you'll kind of come out of it in a better spot than when you're going into it, more than anything else. So that's the hope and the plan. And we can return to regularly scheduled talking split, listening straight after this. We probably won't talk on wellness or anything like that for a little while. We'll go back to why zones are bad in under 12s and all those sorts of things. But, you know, that's kind of the plan.
Count me in.
Yeah, so... During the month of November, like if you are doing something in that space where you are cooking a meal and you feel the need to take a picture of it, or if you are going for a walk or something like that, send it in. Like, in all honesty, we'll get a kick out of it. Like, we'll share it, do all those sorts of things. Like, just tag us into it and let us know that it is making a difference more than anything else, because otherherewise we won't do it. Like, next year we'll just, we'll do it
because even if you're not you know, making it public, there's some people that don't like that, and that's fine.
Oh, look, I'm not opposed to by any means, but it would be nice accountability on that, to know that, hey, someone has actually seen this.
Yep, for sure.
And go from there. So,
and just the pitch to coaches as well. Like, if you look at those four things, if you make little changes across those four things, it will make such a big difference.
Without a doubt. Like, in November's a bit of a shorter month. Like, we got your day off in there somewhere as well. Like, there's no 31 days in November, so should be a little bit easier.
Should have been February.
Yeah, no. We did joke about that not too long ago. Actually, we should have gone February was the month to go with. But that is something for coaches to just consider as well. And to be honest, if you fail at it, who cares? Like, have another crack. Like, it's, you know, just the next day is a new day. Try and start again. And if it is literally just, I'm not going to set too much for me here. Like, I'm sort of suggesting, if you can be across those, you know, once a week, like contribute and all those sorts of things, cool. There's some daily things in there, and we'll put some things up on the Talking Split social media channel as well. Just some things to try and aim for if you can. But have a crack at it. And if you screw up, who cares? Like, just the idea is to try and come out of this better than when you went into it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the goal in this thing. And don't fear it. Like, just try more than anything else. Which brings us into the social split talk.
Something to post on Facebook. Let's go.
It's like me on Twitter.
And this one, I don't know where I found this. I was just scrolling through my phone the other day and I just found it in the list of things that I downloaded. We'll see how we go here.
Fear is a mile wide and an inch deep. And so it looks like this ocean that you're going to step into and drown. But as soon as you step into it, you realize it was not that deep at all. And you can keep walking through it. And I just love that visual, because a lot of times when it's like we have this anxiety around this big decision we have to make, if you actually take the step and realize that it's not death, you're not going to drown immediately. There's plenty of other steps you can take from there, even if you get a little wet.
And that's how I'm probably going to approach this next month, I think. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there, so to speak, but it's not really that deep. Like, it's just little changes. Like, do I need, you know, chocolate milk at lunch? Probably not. Like, I'll be okay without it. Like, you know, do I need Brinner, for lack of a better term, like, which is the meals in between? No, I don't. Like, those sorts of things. Like, just try and change habits more than anything else.
And try something small. Like, you can get some, if you go on a lunch with people and you're kind of pressured to, well, I don't want to do this here. Like, you can just get the meal and maybe just take the chips out.
Yeah, you for know, sure.
Put extra salad or something.
Exactly. If you're, yeah, I know, no one believed us when you said that, Nick. Like, it's, well, we all rolled our eyes heavily, even the people that haven't heard this yet, and they're like, something weird just happened. like, Nick's advocating for the use of salad. But yeah, it's...
because I wasn't sacrificing the meat. Yeah,
but, I mean, that, to be honest, that might be something where it's like, look, if you feel a little bit paranoid about asking someone to go for a walk with you, throw it out to multiple people. It's like, hey, I am going to be walking at this time. If anyone wants to come, you're more than welcome. And that way you don't have that fear of rejection coming back the other way of someone saying, oh, no, I can't do that. It's just like, hey, if you want to turn up, turn up. Like, that's not a problem at all. Like, if you want someone to talk to on your walk, talk to one of the millions of people in Victoria that appear to have my phone number. And you can probably get a hold of me at some various stages as well. But it is one of those things. Like, if you do need someone to talk to on your walk, like, just ask. Throw it out there. There's always people that are willing to do it. In particular, there's tons of people that are driving around Victoria, ferrying their kids around or trying to go to a training session themselves. There'll be plenty of people to talk to in that space. So do try. That's the biggest thing. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just have a crack at it more than anything else. Thank you both for jumping in on this one. Coaches, good luck with it. We will be back to relatively regular schedule programming and content fairly soon, but best of luck for the month of November and hope it works out well. Catch everyone next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Talking Split Podcast. Make sure you like and comment on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.